if I could ask Mr. Phil Chapman to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
A great honor, Mr. Chairman. Let's all stand to it. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Madam Clerk, if you could please call the roll.
Chairman, you Mr. Dodd is not present. You do have a quorum.
Thank you. I would like to invite forward County Board Member Art Asadorian, and then also other members, County Board members, who represent portions of the Granite City School District, and then also the folks from the Granite City Band who are going to be honored today, if you could come forward. We're honored to have some state champions with us this evening. And I have a resolution honoring the Granite City High School Marching Warriors. Whereas it has been a grand year for the Granite City High School Marching Warriors, and whereas under the instruction of Music Director Wyatt Roberts, the Marching Warriors finished their best season in the school's history with their show Imagine, and whereas the band won the title of Grand Champion in their last three competitions at McKendree University, Eastern Illinois University, and the University of Illinois, and whereas the band's biggest win was first place at the University of Illinois State Marching Band Championships, along with earning best visual and general effect performances, and whereas the band also took the top honor of the Governor's Grand Champion Trophy out of 48 bands competing at the University of Illinois, and whereas the band finished its overall season with 16 first place titles for solo competitions, color guard music, general effect, drum majors, and visual effects at competitions. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the County Board of Madison County, Illinois, hereby congratulates the Marching Warriors for its grand 2017 season. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Art Asadorian, if you could come forward, I'll give this to you.
Thank you. You know, as a past band parent, my 4-year tenure with the band started when Mr. Roberts first came to the high school, which was a few years ago. And I saw how he made that band grow. His love and passion for music, the way the kids respected him, the way he respected them, and the hard work that he put in really, truly culminated in this years later. But especially to the band kids, as we call them, two-a-days during August, the heat of August, two-a-days into September, every week, every night, practicing, doing their competitions, practicing, doing what they did wrong, right. And the hard work that they put in, they do something that, I guess you still do it, where they actually take the parents out on the field, and they grab you by the hands, and they start the music, and they walk you in what they're doing when they're marching out on the field. For me, it lasted about 10 seconds. I couldn't keep up. And for several parents, they dropped out real fast. These band kids are truly what you've accomplished. You are truly the young ambassadors from Grand City. Congratulations. Wyatt, I ask you if you'd like to say a few words.
Thank you very much. We're very proud of our students, proud of the work effort that they've put in all year long. We have one motto that the students live by. We always ask them, we tell them, we don't really care how you do in competition. You don't have to be first. You just have to do better than you did last night. So your performance today has to be better than last night's practice, better than last night's football game, better than the competition you had before. And they lived up to that this year. They really bought in, and we couldn't be more proud of them. So, again, thank you very much.
do a picture.
I'd like to go to the speakers next. We do have some speakers this evening. First, Auditor Rick Fasson requested to speak.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Would you say I have 30 minutes? I'm here tonight to give accolades to the staff of the Madison County Auditor's Office. For the 18th consecutive year, we received the Governmental Finance Officers Association Award in North America for financial reporting. The credit has to go to my staff there, and I wish that the staff would stand at this time. Learned a long time ago, in 22 years in the private sector and nearly 18 years here in the government, that you're only as good as the people you surround yourself with. And I want to give accolades to this professional staff who day in, day out, come in, do their jobs, are very professional, and also throw out credit to Shefflin Company who assist us in the audit. And I think it's a great honor for the county, for not just our office, to receive this award, a bipartisan award, year in and year out, and I just wanted to commend them and give them the due thanks that they should have coming to them. So thank you very much, and everybody have a Merry Christmas.
Is Mr. Robert Elkin here? And Mr. Elkin, take your time on the way down. And so you are given 3 minutes, and I will sound the gavel when we're at the 2.5 minute mark, so you'll know when you have 30 seconds.
My name is Bob Elkin. We're the developers representing Glenwood Equities and Dollar General for Fosterburg Road. I just want to let the board know that we're in total compliance with both. All recommendations. I want to let the county board know that we're in full compliance with all recommendations of planning and development and zoning board of appeals, and here to answer any questions should there be any. It's Fosterburg Road and Drexelius, zoning board 0059, Dollar General. Okay, I'm sorry. And I have no further comments.
Okay. Thank you. Is Mr. Christopher Byrne here, please?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Christopher Byrne. I'm a lieutenant with the Edwardsville Police Department. I currently supervise the Special Operations Division. Under my command are the community service officers who primarily handle all of our nuisance animal calls, complaints, etc. On behalf of Chief Keeban, who was not able to be here this evening, I'm going to read a letter that he prepared. He is currently at our Police and Fire Commission meeting overseeing the hiring of our new officers, so please excuse his absence. Dear Chairman Prinsler, I have been informed the Best Friends Animal Society has indicated the Edwardsville Police Department is opposed to Madison County Animal Care and Control becoming a no-kill shelter. To be clear, the Edwardsville Police Department does not have an opinion one way or another regarding any plan to make Madison County Animal Care and Control a no-kill shelter. Our only concern is returning feral and nuisance cats captured in Edwardsville to the location where they were originally reported as problematic. I spoke with the senior legislative attorney for Best Friends Animal Society, Lee Van Cabbage, on Monday, December 18, 2017, and explained this concern with regard to the organization's trap, neuter, and return TNR policy. Specifically, I share concern regarding cats that have caused property damage being returned to the neighborhood where they were originally captured. One can see how the citizen who complains about such a nuisance cat would be upset when they see our community service officer return this cat a few days later. During 2017, the Edwardsville Police Department brought 82 cats to Madison County Animal Care and Control. I'm aware some of these cats were returned to their owners, some were adopted, and some were euthanized. Rather than returning these animals to a location where they are clearly unwanted, I believe adoption or relocation to an area outside of the neighborhood of concern would be better options for the residents of Edwardsville. Since sharing my concern about TNR with Ms. Finn Cabbage, I have received 85 pre-written form emails from supporters of TNR, all of whom claim to be residents for the city of Edwardsville, 60 of whom were not. Obviously, any opposition to TNR brings about a harsh response from this group, to include printing false statements on their website and asking their viewers to send harassing emails to public officials. In closing, please know the Edwardsville Police Department will support the decision of the Madison County Board regarding animal care and control facility. I am hopeful you and fellow board members will make your decision based on what each believes is best for the citizens of Madison County and will not be influenced by harassing communication or other forms of bullying. Sincerely, Jake Even.
Thank you. Officer Byrne, you may, if you'd like to deposit that with the clerk for...
I've done so.
Okay, thank you. Is Pastor Danny Holliday here? Again, we have three minutes, and take your time. 3 minutes, and I will sound the gavel at when you have 30 minutes left. 30 seconds left, sorry. Thank you for listening.
Mr. Prenzler, Mr. Gibbons, and to the board, especially to my brother Michael and his family, it's an honor to be here. I'm here. I spoke to the Judiciary Committee meeting in July. Mr. Gibbons was there, and he suggested that I would speak with the president of the board. And so we had that meeting a few weeks ago. I brought forth a proposal to the Judiciary Committee to consider a volunteer program where people could do research that every citizen of this country is allowed currently to do, and to be able to pass that information along primarily to the public defender's office, but not necessarily just there. I'm concerned. The public defender's office has a difficult task, and as I said last time I was here, they only have about 6 hours to work on a case. And people like myself, sometimes I've worked 6 hours on a situation in one day. Out of that meeting, it was stated, one of the attorneys said, Mr. Rakowski made the comment that we should not question attorneys. And the issue is, you're not questioning, it's not a matter of questioning someone's character or integrity. It's a matter of doing research and let the chips fall where they may. A defendant has a right to due process and equal justice under the law. The Sixth Amendment gives them a right to have all exculpatory evidence presented. The state's attorney's office is supposed to provide all exculpatory evidence, and I'm not here to criticize about anyone. I'm here to say that you can get some volunteers, and to do the same kind of research I'm doing, and it will prevent some people from going to jail or staying in jail unnecessarily too long because maybe the public defender's office don't have enough people to do the research. I'm not just concerned about one case. I've been dealing with this for about 20 years. And there are several cases that bother me. But I just wanted to come here tonight to make sure that I haven't talked to Mr. Walters. I don't know if it's on the agenda. It's not easy. It's a complicated process. But a defendant has a right to have all exculpatory evidence presented. I don't care who does not want someone to help out.
That's 3 minutes.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you. Officer Craig Welch.
Hello, my name is Craig Welch. I am the Deputy Chief of Police in Bethalto. Today I am representing the Mayor and the Police Department and the Village of Bethalto. The Bethalto Police Department also administrates animal control for our village. It is our philosophy that every system must withstand the question of why do we do it that way? This test is an effort to problem solve in an ever-changing environment, but it also is an effort to limit unintended problems. This body is currently considering significant changes to their animal control policy. These policies, like those of Bethalto, have been established over the past 100-plus years in response to the original problems. Those problems were significant risk to animal-transmitted diseases called zoonosis, damage to crops and property, as well as injury or death to livestock and our citizens from uncontrolled animals. Because of successful efforts of many agencies involved with these problems, animal control now mostly addresses the problem of nuisance. It is fair and proper to ask the question, do our current policies adequately address the problems of nuisance, uncontrolled, unwanted dogs and cats, and is there a better way? Few would disagree that solutions that require less euthanasia of nuisance animals are more humane endeavors. The proposed policies that this body is considering pose new challenges, however. Currently, the Village of Bethalto has no long-term housing facilities for these animals. The new county policies may require significant financial investment by the village for infrastructure and manpower for longer-term housing of unwanted animals, especially if Bethalto does not accept the policy of trap, neuter, release, and community cat colonies. We have studied the arguments for community cat colonies from advocates such as Best Friends. We have also studied position against community cat colonies taken by the Center for Disease Control in 2013 regarding zoonosis, as well as the arguments against community cat colonies by the Smithsonian Institution regarding the dangers posed by cats to wildlife in 2011. A review of our records showed that in 2016, Bethalto took 30 nuisance cats to Madison County Animal Control that were unclaimed. If those cats are forcibly returned to our community, over a short time, there will be a buildup of problem cats. Further, we are left with three questions. First, why are nuisance cats more valued than the wildlife they prey upon or force from their habitat because of predatory behavior? Secondly, how is it more humane to allow a house cat to die from exposure, disease, injury from motor vehicle, or predation by coyotes than to be euthanized by already approved methods? Lastly, what does the general public think about the community cat colonies, and how many people opposed to this will take matters into their own hands? After all of these considerations, we support low-kill animal control policies and no-kill animal shelters. We support the philosophy of trap-neuter release into controlled environments such as farms for barn cats. We cannot, however, support community cat colonies in the village of Bethalto.
That's 3 minutes.
Thank you.
Is Ruby Berghoff here?
My name is Ruby Berghoff, and I'm here to speak out in opposition to the Dollar General store on Fosterburg Road and Drexelius Lane. How far is 28 feet? The width of your garage, the length of your pool, the height of your house, the length of your driveway? 28 feet is only slightly more than the width of a standard two-car garage. It's about the length of 1.5 Chevy Silverado trucks. It's about half the distance from home plate to the pitcher's mound, halfway across the basketball court. It's the distance from me to those light switches on that blue wall right there. And it's also the distance from our property line to the back of the Dollar General store. Would you want a Dollar General store in your backyard? We don't, and I don't think you do either. We own the property at 3805 Drexelius Road, which is adjacent to the proposed site for the Dollar General. Glenwood Equities has asked for a 28-foot variance, which puts the backside of the building 28 feet from our property line and only a few more feet from our front yard. The proposed retaining wall will be only a few feet closer than that, since it's indicated to be about 2 feet from the edge of the road. This site is obviously inadequate to accommodate the proposed project. Otherwise, there would be no need for a variance. There are several larger and more appropriate parcels available along Fosterburg Road, as was pointed out by Mr. McMadison at the December 7th committee meeting. Madison County ranks third in traffic fatalities in the state of Illinois. The entrance across from Elmore Drive is unsafe due to the elevation of the road to the north. The elevation of the entrance will be lowered along with the site, which was only going to exacerbate the situation. Even now, there's no clear line of sight to the approaching southbound traffic until they crest the hill at 55-plus miles an hour. In fact, the intersection of Stutz Lane and Fosterburg Road, which is just south of this entrance, was moved several years ago because of safety issues. More than 80 residents of this farming community have expressed opposition to this project, citing a lack of need, traffic safety concerns, alcohol sales, drainage issues, all-night lighting, litter, existing services only minutes away, including another Dollar General just down the road. We concur with our neighbors on these concerns. We are the ones suffering the greatest impact by the physical location of the building. Not only will the structure be 28 feet from our property line, we'll now be looking at the backside of the building and retaining wall where there once was a natural open area. Would you want to look out your door tomorrow morning and instead of looking out across a nice, quiet, natural area, green zone, green belt, your neighbor's home, your pool, a lake, would you want to be looking at a Dollar General store? I think not, and we don't either. So when you're asked to place your vote tonight, I ask you to stop and think about a Dollar General store out your front door, because property lines do matter. Thank you.
Thank you. If I could have a motion to approve the minutes for the November 15th meeting.
So moved.
Mr. McCray, do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, if we could go, if I could go next to the appointments. And first, I would like to just remove from the agenda number 4. This are the appointments to the 708 Madison County Mental Health Board, and also number 5, Madison County Stormwater Commission, those 3 appointments. So I'd like to remove those from the agenda. And then on appointments 1 and 2 and 3, I just wanted to note for the record that the proposed salaries for all 3 positions are $92,000 per year. Would anyone like to consider any of these independently?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Can we separate out number 1, please?
Okay.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Can we separate out number 3, please?
Okay.
Thank you.
Maybe we should go ahead and consider number 2, 6, 7, and 8. Call for a roll call on that.
All
in favor?
So moved.
Yep. Mr. Any waivers? Do you want to do
a roll call? You can do a voice.
Let's do a roll call. Yes. So we have a motion from Mr. Walters.
Second.
Second. Mr. McCray. This is on appointments 2, 6, 7, and 8.
Tom, will you go ahead and second for me?
Oh, sure. Yes.
Any discussion? Hearing none, roll call.
Debbie suggested roll calls.
Motion carries. So we're considering number one. This is the appointment of Bruce Cooper to I would entertain a motion to go forward with appointment Bruce Cooper as Madison County Director of Administrative Services.
I'll make a motion to postpone that vote until we can see a job description.
Second.
Objection.
We do have a job description for that position, but we don't have it here.
It's not attached to the agenda today.
Chairman, are we doing a voice vote or a roll call?
You need a roll call.
I object that, which I think can be overruled with a two-thirds vote.
So I think we have a do we have a motion to go ahead and appoint this person?
No.
Isn't it a motion to table the way I understood it?
Mr. Chairman, we'd like to see it come through the Personnel Committee first so we can discuss salary.
Okay, I think we probably, before we have discussion, we need to have a motion.
Point of parliamentary procedure, unless I'm wrong, I'd like some readout from the state's attorney. There appears to be a motion on the floor to postpone the consideration of this until we get a job description. If I understand correctly, Mr. State's Attorney, that was officially seconded.
I made an objection to that.
Pardon me, parliamentary procedure is there to protect us all. And once you start leaving behind what the procedure tells us we're supposed to do, it endangers our democracy and it endangers everything that we do. So I'd like to know if there is a legal motion on the floor.
May I ask a question? If we vote against the motion to table, can we then have discussion on the on this situation and then perhaps revisit tabling it?
Point of personal privilege. Well, understood the motion was to postpone. So look at Robert Rule's order. Postpone means that it will automatically be brought up at the next meeting, whereas tabling would mean that this idea could be postponed indefinitely depending upon how people vote, and I would be very much against that.
Mr. Chairman.
We have a motion on the floor, and we do have a second, and so this is a motion to table.
No, it's a motion to postpone.
And so
directed by Mr. Chapman and his expertise in
And so I think we do have any discussion, Mr. Asadorian.
Yes.
It's also my understanding we certainly do have a job description for this position, but I do not have it with me right now. And
I think that maybe it's a proper motion, especially in light of the fact that Mr. Madison would like for this to go through the Personnel Committee at the same time. So if we just delay it, you know, delay this until the next meeting, that gives them a time to review it and us a time to actually read the job description, which we don't have in front of us. I think it's a proper motion.
Again, to not see the job description is absolutely ridiculous, because how can you say that the salary is commensurate with the job if you don't even know what the job entails, if it's not in front of you, if it's not provided to you in advance of the meeting so you can look at it, if it's not provided to you in the meeting so you can look at it. I have no objection to the appointee. I do want to make sure he is fairly paid.
Well, that's what I was saying, is that it gives everybody an opportunity. It gives everybody an opportunity to read the job description.
I believe,
Mr. Chairman,
if I could just make a yes. I think Ms. Harris.
I have objected to this, which according to Robert's Rules of Order, you can make an objection and it can be overruled, the motion, with a two-thirds vote. So I make that on the grounds of the fact that this information did come to our email. This was public knowledge, and if we wanted to get this, we had it if you checked your email.
If I can just, it's my understanding that we have, for all these three positions, we do have job descriptions. They're a matter of public record. I don't have them with me this evening with me, but I mean, they're.
I have a question of why, again,
when they gave the 2,200-page Obama thing and then told everybody to vote within 24 hours. How can you possibly logically and show due diligence if you don't have the information in front of you?
I would like to just mention that the job descriptions are a matter of public record, and if anyone, having received timely notice of these appointments, had called my office, they certainly would have had that job description provided to them. So, and yes, Ms. Champoli. It is my understanding that Ms. Harris's objection is to be voted on first.
We're still in discussion, and I haven't had a chance to speak.
Pretty sure yet. An objection, part of parliamentary procedure. An objection calls for, I think, an immediate vote, but it requires a two-thirds vote. That's how you overcome the fact that you don't allow to discuss. That's why you have to have two-thirds. So we need to vote on that right now.
So we have an objection on the floor. The objection to the motion to postpone.
Objection to the motion to postpone. I feel like we were provided the appropriate information. I would like to vote on this tonight.
And I do feel there's an opportunity for discussion. So if anyone has any. Okay, is there a second to Ms. Harris's objection?
Yes. Mr. Chairman, what are the wages?
The wages, I clarified earlier, at 90 for each of these three positions at 92,000 per year.
92,000 to 92,000, is that correct?
The position is the Director of Administrative Services, and as when I sent out my email, the salary attached to this position, which formerly was held by Barry Harris as Director of Administrative Services, was, I don't remember the number, but I think with the 2.25% increase was at about 95,000, and okay, that's what I indicated when I sent out the notice.
Okay, I'm sorry. My question is this. I can remember whenever Mr. Dunston was chairman, and I believe it was Jeff Whaling held this position. Is that correct? No? Okay, well, I'm kind of confused on positions.
I think we can discuss that, but we do have the objection. Do you want to give your comments on the objection or just any discussion on the objection?
We need to vote.
Okay. No discussion.
We need to vote.
Okay, so we did have a motion to postpone and a second. And then we had an objection. And so we're going to have a roll call on that objection.
So is a yes vote a motion to?
Object.
I'm sorry, can you speak up a little?
What a yes vote would be what?
To object.
Yes vote would be to object to the motion
So if we vote no, then we go ahead with my motion.
Correct.
Yes.
Correct.
So we can get a clarification.
A yes vote would be a vote to not table it.
It's not a table.
No,
the
postpone.
I want to vote on it next week.
The motion,
I just want more clarification.
The motion
on the job
to postpone. So this is, and we're voting on an objection. And I think we should just Art, go ahead with that vote. If you don't,
I was just going to ask
if
we require now with 28 members present, we need 19 votes. Is that correct?
I'll calculate the two-thirds for you, Mr. Asadori.
To sustain the objection to the motion to postpone.
Okay. So we do have an objection that we're voting on, and yes is to agree with the objection to the motion, and no is to not. So roll call. Okay, so we have a tie, so the objection fails. Is that correct?
Right.
Yes.
Right.
That is correct.
So that means
okay.
That's
debate,
correct.
So we do have a motion on the floor, a motion to postpone. And so any discussion on that?
I think I can make a point, sir. We all had access to job description in advance. Whether we went out together or not is the answer. So it's going to be postponed, it looks like, for the next meeting. Please, if you do not get a copy of job descriptions and you have concern about it, reach out for the job descriptions before the next meeting.
Could we get those in a more timely fashion?
Well, I think you can go look this up yourself. I mean, we are elected officials. Do we have to have Mr. Prinsler do everything for us? You got the person's name.
Nice.
You could easily look this up and find it yourself. I mean, I don't understand why, if you've got an objection, you've known for 2 days, You could have called
Mr.
Prinsler.
2 whole days then, along with everything else on the agenda.
It takes you more than 2 days to go, oh, I don't have the job description, then to pick up the phone and call and ask
two
for
whole
it.
Days.
I'm sorry.
The county ordinance.
Anybody I know, including my kids, if they need something, they're not going to go in 2 days later. If they walked into their teachers and go, I'm sorry, I didn't have that information. You knew about it 2 days ago. My kid said, well, it's only been 2 days. You think the teacher cares? Do your jobs, people. That's what we're elected to do. We're not elected to wait for Kurt Prinsler to give us a job description. If you didn't have it, pick up the phone, email, call. You could have found this out. You just want to delay it and just continue to badger this man.
Mr.
Prinsler, let's go ahead and call for the vote.
Mr. Parkinson?
Yeah. That's a really awesome speech you just gave. I don't like the attitude that I was presented with that.
Just being Mike. Can I start talking and interrupting him like he does everybody else?
Point of order. I have the floor.
Please, Dad.
First, county ordinance dictates when things are supposed to come out, and that hasn't been followed. Not Robert's Rules of Order. They continue to put things out 2 days before when the county ordinance says otherwise, and maybe they need to look into that. With that said, that would give us more ample time to correctly do our job and talk to other people and our constituents instead of having 48 hours for these things. We've consistently said that these salaries are too high, and yet we still get these salaries dumped upon us and have very little time to deliberate with our constituents and with other board members to battle these things. So I strongly urge that we postpone this one more week so we can see if a $20-something thousand increase in his salary is worth the new job descriptions. I think we deserve that for our people that are paying taxes.
Ms. Champoli? Mr. Asadorian?
Yes. Again, I reiterate what Mr. Madison said. This should probably go through the proper channels, like every appointment, through personnel, so that they can get a better view of if this individual is truly
It's my understanding, Mr. Asadorian, it's my understanding that appointments are presented directly to the board.
I'm sorry, what?
It's my understanding that appointments go directly to the board for approval or
Mr. Madison had properly requested that this go through personnel, and that might filter out a lot of the issues that we have to deal with on the board.
Okay.
So maybe we might want to consider that, too.
Yes, Mr. Chapman?
Mr. Chairman, with all due respect, I think that some of this discussion is part and parcel with the need to withdraw the mental health board and stormwater things. There's been some confusion. There are some members of the board, in all fairness to them. I don't think they should be told or expected to have to go look things up. If you want people appointed, you should carry people around on a little pillow and give them what they need in advance so they can make a decision. And that did not really occur in this case. And so I'm hearing what some of my colleagues are saying with due respect to you and Mr. Hume.
Well, Mr. Chapman,
I must say that I am for this gentleman's appointment.
Mr.
Chapman, he is very qualified. I haven't spoken 3 minutes yet. I think he is very qualified, but I want to make sure that he's paid fairly.
Is there any person in this room who I did not call prior to this meeting on these appointments? Please raise your hand. I think I spoke with every person in this room at least once, probably two or three times. Any other discussion? Yes, Ms. Harris.
I would just like to state some of the information that did come to our inboxes. It seems like maybe some people have not grasped this information. We'd be voting on Bruce to be making a salary that is less than the previous person was making, but Bruce would also be performing two positions. The position he's currently doing, which is the HR generalist, and then also the director of administrative services. So look at this as he is performing extra duties for less money, which, in my opinion, is a win for a taxpayer.
Ms. Gorman?
I actually support Bruce Cooper, and I think that he would do a great job as a director of administrative services. However, I do have a problem with the compensation, and I understand what we're saying here, but I would like to know how many of us in this room could stand up and say, I walked into a job making $65,000, and I moved to a different job with more responsibility, and I got a $30,000 increase. Is there anybody in the room that could do that?
Bait and switch.
I've done that before, actually.
Okay, that's impressive. Is there anyone else, Mr. Essador, and you've spoken. Is there anyone else who would like to speak?
Yes,
Mr. McCray.
I echo the concern Ms. Champoli brought up, though. I think we have how many, 900 employees in the county, roughly, 900 to 1,000? And, you know, to not have a dedicated HR specialist, that's why we hired Mr. Cooper. And, you know, is this going to be – I mean, are we going to add another additional staff to – report to Mr. Cooper for an HR person?
I thought that I had clarified this when I spoke to people on the phone. Mr. Cooper actually will be doing both jobs. So he'll be doing when Barry Harris was Director of Administrative Services, he did only that.
Yeah.
Mr. Cooper will be doing both that job and the job of HR generalist.
I think with 900 employees, if you managed a Pizza Hut, if you have 10 employees in that Pizza Hut, there's 10 problems, and there's probably 3 problems. And I think it's a challenging job with 900, with only one person, I think is a challenging job in and of itself. This is kind of a hybrid situation. And just to for the good of the order, I do think a little bit more time would be nice. You know, we used to get the agendas on Thursday, and I think that would give people some more time to contemplate. I appreciate you reaching out to all of us, and I talked to you a couple of times over the last 2 days, and I genuinely appreciate that. But a couple more days would have been nice, I think, to have contemplated that just a bit more.
Any other discussion?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I do have a question.
Yes, Mr.
In light of the fact that he's picking up these extra duties and we're talking about his job description, does that mean his job description needs to be modified to include these extra duties? Because this is the whole reason for a job description. I mean, he can come along later and say, well, wait a minute, that's not my job description. And does the county board have to modify the job description by vote to allow him to do those extra duties? So that's where there's confusion. And that's all I'm saying.
Okay. Any other discussion? Hearing none, if we could.
I need a motion.
I think we do have a motion to postpone.
I can't do that for him.
Motion to postpone until next week, seconded by Krista Novosic.
You mean till next month?
Till next month, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Okay.
So we do have a motion to postpone, and I think we've had enough discussion, so I'd like to call the roll. Motion carries. If we could go on to number 3, if I'd entertain a motion to appoint Bob Falk as Superintendent of Special Service Area Number 1. We do have a motion.
A second.
Second.
Mr. Chairman, what is the wage on this?
Also, $92,000 is the wage on this. Any discussion?
Yes.
Yes, Ms. Hawkins.
I have known Bob for many years. I've been on the tour committee since 2002. I think he's a fine pick for this position. Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Malone?
I'm sorry, I just couldn't hear what she said. That's all right.
Yes. Any other discussion? Hearing none, roll call. Motion carries. Mr. Madison, would you please bring in the resolutions from the Facilities Committee? And I will note that the first resolution is important in order that we have Christmas. Please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, fellow board members. We have three items for your consideration, and I move for their adoption. On number one, the 2018 holiday schedule resolution, there has been a change. There was a typo, actually. Veterans Day should be Monday, November 12, 2018, not Friday. There were a few calls, and that's changed. Number two, resolution to renew annual janitorial services contract for designated Madison County facilities. And number three, a resolution authorizing an intergovernmental agreement between Madison County and the Regional Office of Education pertaining to the transfer of excess property. I move for their adoption.
Any discussion? Hearing none, roll call. Motion carries. Ms. Champoli, if you would like to bring in the items from the Finance and Government Operations Committee.
Mr. Chairman, fellow board members, a Merry Christmas, everyone. We have five items. That is the summary reports of claims and transfers. Number two is the immediate emergency appropriation 2018 CAC DCFS grant. Number three is the immediate emergency appropriation for 2018 self-help center grant. Number four is an immediate emergency appropriation 2017 IEMA performance grant. And number five is the immediate emergency appropriation 2017 state's attorneys or justice assistance grant. Here for your adoption.
Okay. Any discussion? Hearing none, roll call. Motion carries. Mr. Goggin, if you could please bring in the resolution for the IT committee.
Mr. Chairman, fellow board members, we have one item for your consideration, a resolution to purchase a sand storage array for the Madison County IT Department, and I move for its approval.
We have a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, roll call. Motion carries. Mr. Maxwell, on behalf of the Planning and Development Committee, could you please bring in the resolutions?
Yes, sir. Mr. Chairman, members of the board, we have five resolutions for your discussion this evening. It's been requested that I pull out Z170059 separately, and I will do that, and I will do that first. Resolution Z170059, a petition of Glenwood Equities to basically build Dollar General Store. This did pass by a majority vote of the board of the committee, and I move for its adoption.
We have a second. Any discussion? Yes, Mr. Madison.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Thank you. Just so everyone in the room knows, they've heard some objection tonight, and they've heard from the developer. This is in my district, and I drive there on Fosterburg Road very, very often. I don't live there. This will be close to some houses. The people directly across the street that it affects the most are for it. And I was actually very surprised by that. It is in a little bit of a low area. I went out there. I drove it many times. That was my first concern. When I originally heard about this project, I was against it because I thought it was a bad place for it. After going out there several times, looking around, talking to a few neighbors, I changed my mind because the way the property is going to be developed, I don't think it really affects anybody adversely. There's already a lot of traffic on the road. It's virtually going to be mostly the same traffic that goes there. There will be some additional. The line of sight, I don't think, is a problem. It wasn't with me in my vehicle. and it's a 45-mile-an-hour speed limit there. There's nothing up in that area. It's pretty sparse except for in that area. It's just a few hundred yards north of the 255 interchange at Fosterburg Road, and I am for the development of this Dollar General.
Any other discussion? Mr. Assadorian?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, fellow board members. I can appreciate the 26 or 28-foot comment. I live behind a strip mall, approximately 60 feet behind a strip mall, and I know how annoying that can be, and that's 60 feet away, not 28 feet away. When I purchased there, there was no plans for a strip mall. It was strictly a residential area. However, it was in a, abutted a commercial area where this didn't. And it seems like historically, this store likes to try and place as many stores as they can in a short amount of areas. They tried to put another one into Grand City where we already had one, and about a half a mile away there was one in Pontoon Beach, and they wanted to locate one in between. Now, I don't know if their business only has foot traffic, that they need to be that close, but you know, I'm sure when these people built out there or bought out there, it wasn't commercially ready. And when you get variances, when you have to get a variance, that means you're trying to put something in where it doesn't belong. And so I'm going to vote against this strictly on the
Mr. Petrillo. Business.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I have no problem with the Dollar General in general speaking. But we have a R2 zoning in this area. We had a number of people, I won't say what the specific number was because I don't recall it exactly, but it was a pretty high number of people that had shown that they were not in favor of this. Mr. Madison did report at the committee that he did canvass the area. It amounted to 3 homes that were located directly across from where this would be located. Now, like I said, I don't have a problem with Dollar General specifically. But we're talking about taking an R2, which all the homes in that area are zoned R2. We have 2 locations that are B4. Now, B4 to me is kind of an extreme. I asked the question, and it was given, that B1 is adequate to put this facility there. Now, my problem with that is that are we being perfectly honest with these people? If I say, do you mind a Dollar General? They may not. But do you mind going from an R2 to a B4? Now that opens up a whole new ball game of possibilities down the road of what could be located there, right in the midst. Now, I don't know how many of you are in R1s or R2s. But how many of you want a B4 right there across the street from you? So I'm not against it, but I will vote against it simply because of the zoning. I think if we're looking for consistency, if we're looking for a continuity of growth in our community, this county, I think what we ought to do is follow some kind of an order and start doing patchwork. And quite frankly, that's what I consider this.
I'm sorry, who's speaking? I'm sorry. Yes, Mr. Moore?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I have a comment to make concerning. I know that it was said that one of the homeowners doesn't mind. I mean, for all we know, maybe that person doesn't have a car would find it convenient to walk across the street to a Dollar General. But I did hear another homeowner came down earlier, gave us some information concerning her property, how she doesn't believe that would be good for her and doesn't want it. As a property owner, I would have a question. I don't know if Mr. Maxwell would be able to answer this, but I would wonder if this is going to impact property values in the area. Is her property value going to go down? I think we should be very careful to make a decision that could impact a property value or the desires of a homeowner who has lived here and then to place a business that could disrupt her quality of life, whenever there are probably other areas within Madison County or the town that the store could go.
Mr. Maxwell?
honestly, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Moore, I cannot answer in regards to whether or not it will increase or decrease their property values. That assessment has not been completed. At committee, they did present a petition with 84 signatures in opposition to this. And in essence of full disclosure, I believe that was in your packet, but if that way you have all the information, sir. But I cannot make an assessment as to whether it will increase or decrease property value, sir.
Mr. Madison.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. To address a couple of these concerns.
Can you speak a little?
Yeah, to address a couple of these concerns, the speaker that came down earlier that says their property line is 28 feet from the back of the Dollar General. They're across the street. The corner of their property line is 28 feet possibly from, I don't exactly remember. I don't believe it was the building. But the house is up the hill. It's quite a long lot. It's kind of misleading, the 28 feet statement. I would not have recommended this be approved if I thought it was going to be a problem for the neighbors, because I wouldn't want a Dollar General too close to my house. And I need to add also that there is an excavating company almost directly across the street from this property, and this is two lots next to each other. They're not very big. They're surrounded by trees. You almost have to go out there and look at it yourself. Even looking at Google Maps is helpful, but not completely.
Any other discussion?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Ms. Hawkins.
Yes, I would just like to say we had standing room only over a Dollar General. Nothing wrong with them. We've got them all around us. But in certain places, they just don't go. Maryville Road, we have so many churches and fine homes, and there they wanted to plank a Dollar General. We packed the place with city residents, township residents, both Shoto and Namioke, and we did defeat it. So my vote would be no, because I know how these people feel and how we felt. Thank you.
Any other discussion? I would like Mr. Maxwell to clarify the vote, then. I think we've had enough discussion. And Mr. Maxwell, if you could please clarify what it means for a yes vote and what it would mean for
if
a no vote.
If you vote yes on this resolution, the way that the resolution was written and presented to you, a yes vote is in support of this resolution for approval. I know there's a number of times that I present resolutions to you that are in opposition. This resolution did pass in the committee. A yes vote will be in support of this resolution.
What was the vote in the committee, Brad?
5-2, with Mr. Wesley absent.
Okay, roll call. Motion fails.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, members of the board, I have four more resolutions to present for your approval, 0056, 0057, 0058, and 0055. All resolutions were passed unanimously by the board, by the committee, and I move for their adoption.
We have a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, roll call. Motion carries. Mr. Maxwell, if you would please bring in the next resolution.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, members of the board, I have a resolution authorizing a grant for the yearly funding to the Madison County Soil and Water Conservation District, fiscal year 2018, was approved by the committee unanimously, and I move for its adoption.
We have a second. Any discussion? Roll call. Ms. Glasper, on behalf of the Public Safety Committee, could you please bring in the license report and the resolution?
Mr. Chairman, I had a couple comments to make on animal control of some things, and I didn't know if this was an appropriate time.
Perhaps after the motion is made. Ms. Glasper?
Yes, Mr. Chairman and fellow board members. Your Public Safety Committee has two items, the first being the license report covering 20 amusement licenses for $1,944, and the second is a resolution authorizing the pet population grant, and I move for its adoption.
We have a second. Any discussion on this resolution? Ms. Kuhn?
Okay. Well, what I was wanting to talk about a little bit is I really appreciate Gussie and the committee. They do a really good job, so I'm certainly not saying anything critical of them, and I appreciate what the policemen were saying. I agree with what they were saying. But what I was talking about is several months ago, the Animal Control Committee was given a resolution at a safety meeting by someone outside the committee. The issue was a no-kill shelter funded by the county. I sat on this committee. We were pressured to vote on this issue immediately without a chance to study the issue. The resolution should have been given to us 48 hours before the meeting. So is the resolution legal? December the 11th meeting, which was last week, safety...
Are you talking about the resolution...
I'm talking about the one several months ago.
Are we talking about the resolution that we're...
No, she's not voting on. She's not speaking about the resolution for the pet population grant.
No, I'm not talking about the pet population.
We're not talking about the resolution that's just been... that's on the floor.
We're talking about the county...
Perhaps old business.
Yeah.
This is for the pet population grant.
Yeah, he told me to go ahead and speak.
But that's not regarding the pet population grant.
Right. That's what I figured we should go ahead and vote on that first, and then can I speak after she is done because it pertains to animal control?
Perhaps that's better brought up under at the end of the meeting under new business. Old business.
Mr. Chairman, this resolution is not...
As I understand it, you're not really talking about the resolution.
No, we're not talking about the resolution, but it's something that I do want to point out.
I think we can find time for that near the end of the meeting.
In new business, then?
New or old business. Okay. We'll have an opportunity. So that we do have a motion on the floor. Any discussion on that motion?
Just to be clear, this has nothing to do with what Ms. Kuhn is talking about. I would like to hear what she has to say in old business, but this resolution being passed is not what everybody was here talking about tonight.
I think Ms. Glasper.
This pet population grant resolution is not dealing with the no-kill policy.
Right. Exactly.
At all.
I understand that.
I think Judy made that clear. I actually do think Judy was trying to interject some.
But we have the motion on the floor for the pet population grant.
I understand.
Right. It's separate from what she's referring to.
Right. No, I agree. I'm just saying I think Judy was trying to just add some discussion at an appropriate time.
On a different item.
Yeah.
Right. Yes.
We'll find time at the end of the meeting, Ms. Kuhn. That's fine. So we do have a motion on the floor. Mr. Michael.
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, are these grants are these the exact same as last year and previous years?
Ms. Glasper?
Yes, they are.
Okay, thank you. So any additional discussion regarding the resolution on the floor? Hearing none, roll call. Motion carries. Mr. Chapman, if you would please bring...
Chairman.
Yes.
You will call on me later. I do have a statement regarding the no-kill policy.
Oh, we'll go. I think we should, if it's regarding that, maybe we should also bring that up at the end of the meeting. But thank you. We'll give you an opportunity near the end. Mr. Chapman, if you would like to bring in the property trustee resolution.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, ladies and gentlemen of the board, I move the property tax resolution unanimously approved by the Tax Cycle Committee on Tuesday, December 12, 2017, be approved by the Madison County Board.
Second.
Any discussion? Hearing none, roll call. Mr. McCray, on behalf of the Transportation Committee, would you please bring in the items there?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. The Transportation Committee has five items for the Board's consideration tonight. Item number one is a long-range highway plan and improvements for the county. Number two is a report of bids on galvanized corrugated steel pipe. Item number three is a report of bids on pre-coated galvanized corrugated steel pipe. Item number four is a report of bids award for the 2018 MFT maintenance material proposal. And item number five is a report of bids award for the 2018 Road District MFT maintenance material proposal. This has been unanimously approved by the Transportation Committee, and I would make a motion for their approval.
We do have a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, roll call. Now I'd like to go to the Health Department portion. That motion did pass. Mr. Holliday, first I would like, before we go into the Health Department Committee, I would entertain a motion to approve the minutes of the June 21st and September 20th Health Department Committee. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Mr. Holliday, if you would please bring in the Health Department Committee Activities Report.
All right, Mr. Chairman, ladies and gentlemen of the board, this is the regular meeting of the Madison County Health Department Board, and I ask for approval of our past minutes, which we already have done. But I also make a motion that the Health Department Activity Report be placed on file as presented. Also, I'd like to give you a brief scenario of what has happened at the Health Department over this past year. We've conducted more than 3,500 inspections at food service facilities. We provided 8,233 childhood and adult immunizations, investigated 2,422 communicable disease, screened and assessed almost 1,500 children for lead exposure. We provided over 835 mammograms, pap smears, and other breast and cervical cancer screening procedures. We provided 4,712 hearing and vision screening tests for children. We provided 550 STD exams, treated 284 patients and partners. We recruited and retained 346 Medical Reserve Corps volunteers. These are some of the things that we have done as the Madison County Health Department to help keep our county safe and healthy.
Thank you. Yes, and now in this portion of the meeting of new business, I think, Ms. Kuhn, we can hear your comments on.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. What I was wanting to say is I appreciate Gussie does a good job as chairing the committee. The committee is a good group of people, and I appreciate them. And I do appreciate what the policemen were saying because we am in total agreement. I spoke with Highland Police Department. But this is my viewpoint, and several months ago, the Animal Control Committee was given a resolution at a safety meeting by someone outside the committee. The issue was a no-kill funded shelter funded by the county. I sat on this committee. We were pressured to vote on this issue immediately without a chance to study the issue. The resolution should have been given to us 48 hours before the meeting. So the question is the resolution legal? December the 11th, last week's safety meeting, a draft was given to the committee. Again, I didn't even actually get a chance to read the draft. It was handed to us at the meeting. A vote was taken to move forward with the county-funded no-kill. I plus other committee members assumed this would be on today's agenda. None of this has anything to do, is the fault of the county clerk's office, the chair of the committee, or the committee. And why is the committee doing a roll call vote on discussion? Also, something of this magnitude requires much planning. In my opinion, you are forming a totally new department. This would be the first county-funded no-kill shelter in the state of Illinois. I have spoke with Highlands Police Department's feeling toward a county-funded no-kill animal shelter are as follows. Number one, they feel that there definitely needs to be much planning before the county should adopt a county-funded no-kill animal shelter. Number two, the Highland Police Department also feels the county board needs to understand and study the economic impact this would have on the citizens of Madison County. The matter in which the county-funded no-kill animal shelter issue has been handled lacks transparency and accountability. It's time to show some real compassion for the employers, our employers, the citizens of Madison County. And that's basically what I have to say.
Thank you. Ms. Glasper?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, and fellow board members. Fellow board members, you have before you on your desk a copy of the policy that was adopted at our meeting. And my statement is the Public Safety Committee at our regular meeting on December the 11th, 2017, adopted a plan to move Madison County Animal Control closer to a no-kill facility. The goal to develop a plan to become a no-kill facility by December 31st, 2017 was achieved through bipartisan support and would be implemented gradually with following changes forthcoming to the current animal control ordinance following review and approval. I would like to thank my fellow committee members for their hard work and their foresight to get the county moving in a direction that represents the feeling of so many Madison County residents. This was simply a plan that was adopted per resolution, as you have a copy in front of you, in April of 2017. The ordinance has not come to the committee or this board for resolution adoption. Thank
Any
you.
Further discussion? Yes, Mr. Parkinson.
Yes, we. I believe in April the board asked us to do this, and it's been accomplished. Mm-hmm. And now I would like to see. I believe you're looking to hire a person to take over animal control. I think there was some committee talks on that. And when the person that you're going to present to us for that position is presented or hired or however it is you're going to choose to do this one, when that happens, I would like to see you and he bring that resolution to the committee for our consideration. I don't believe it's the committee's job to do that. I believe it's the person that you're trying to hire for that position. And when you guys get together and do that, I'd be interested to read it and see if it gets through the committee.
I'd like to say also, Mr. Chairman, I really appreciate the public safety folks, the police officers who are here tonight to give – I'm sorry to interrupt somebody. I apologize. That were here tonight to give a different perspective or to give additional insight on the whole issue because, you know, I think we're all animal lovers. I'm in particular, I'm a cat lover. And we've got a cat that's we've had for 20 years. And I realize that most of the cats in Madison County are euthanized or the animals that are euthanized are cats. And but it is a difficult situation, and I'm not sure that's the most humane thing to reintroduce an animal that isn't wanted back into a place where they're you know they don't have food and maybe and shelter and water and I think as one of the police officers might have pointed out that people start shooting out with pellet guns and things like that, and so I do think I hope that we reach out as this policy is being developed and that we reach out to other you know. Public safety officials in the county to get their perspective.
Any additional discussion? Ms. Champulli?
Thank you, everyone. I know there seems to be some controversy, as Ms. Glasper said. This is just a plan as to get to no kill. And everybody's focusing on one issue. And there's many things in this plan that we'd like to bring forward and that can be done that, one, are at no cost to the citizens at all. As I bring it forward, you wouldn't ask a carpenter to have a tool belt with just one tool. So it's not saying that we're going to do this. The ordinance has not been changed. We want to look at every option and to work out what's the best. TNR, would it work maybe in Glen Carbon? And maybe not. Maybe it works in a different area. But we have to try and reduce the number of cats that are out in our community. And if we don't stop them from reproducing, their rate of reproduction is high. So we have to find some tools. And that's all this is. And yes, none of this will happen until we comes forth to the committee and to the full board, because we know there is some controversy and some concerns. And I think we can educate everyone and come to some conclusion and move forward.
Mr. Assadorian?
Yes, one thing that we did agree upon in committee, Ms. Glasper would verify this, is that we keep this fluid, that as we attempt to implement something, if it's not working, then we can modify it and try something else. And I think that will help us along with input from others. I would like to say, though, that the last, trying to be dignified about this, the last few meetings that we've had interruptions on a regular basis from people outside the committee, not other board members, but just interested and passionate groups. We've attempted to conduct business, and we constantly get interrupted. At the last meeting, I asked two individuals, please not interrupt us. And I was told after the meeting by one of them that I was very rude to her. So we do have issues there. People are passionate about this. And I think our chairman does an excellent job in offering them plenty of time to speak before the meeting begins. After the meeting begins, though, it's just like this meeting. We should not be interrupted by outside people. And we're getting that on a regular basis. So just so that everybody's aware of this, we need to, and our chairman does a real good job attempting to control it. But once the discussion starts, it's like, they just want to keep talking. So just so everybody's aware of that.
Thank you. Mr. Chapman?
I have new business.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, thank you. Unless I miss something, there's been discussion of a new director for animal control, which I assume has a job description. And looking ahead, apparently this person's very much in people's mind. It would help me in a week ahead to have a resume, a complete copy of the job description, exactly how you see this person working with the administration, so that I won't have any issues with last-minute kind of stuff. The second thing, if I might add, is I'd like to see that kind of thing go through personnel, just like we're hoping to see that Bruce's information go through personnel ahead of time so that we're all on the sheet of music. And lastly, I would like to say, in respect to my colleague, it's one of the reasons that I fought on the Finance Committee for court security, because I don't think you get paid enough to be interrupted in your meetings and feel unsafe. This should not be happening. And if it happens once, shame on them. And if it happens twice, shame on us.
Mr. Goggin?
Yes, So my district overlaps Village of Glen Carbon and City of Edwardsville. And both of those communities I talked with this week, and they were surprised by this whole thing, the whole no-kill. They didn't know this was before the board. We've known it for a long time, but they didn't. So as this plan moves forward to become a resolution to change our policy sometime in the future, I would like to see all of the communities that are impacted involved in those decisions to come up with the resolution, because I can't just force this on the communities in my district. Thank you.
Ms. Dutton?
Hi, I have new business. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and fellow board members. I just wanted to talk about, last month we had our recorder come in here and she spoke to us about the budget, and she criticized our finance committee for the cuts they made. I think she referred to those budget cuts as draconian in nature. So this prompted me to do some research, and I actually learned that the majority of counties in Illinois do not even use an elected recorder. I think it's 16 out of 102 still have a separate elected recorder and county clerk. Those duties are actually consolidated into the county clerk's office. Actually, Cook County, the largest county in Illinois, recently overwhelmingly passed a referendum to eliminate their elected recorder. Winnebago County, that's another county similar in our size, they're working towards that. And McHenry County, they have a referendum on their March ballot to do so. So I just think it's worth exploring this option. I think we owe it to Madison County taxpayers to see if this could be a significant cost savings to our county if we consolidate those offices. And specifically, I'd like to ask Madam Clerk if she could guide us and the logistics on how we would go about doing that as a county board, if that's something we wanted to do, and also Mr. Gibbons, the legalities of that, how we do that if the board chooses to explore this option.
Mr. Wesley?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I echo the sentiments of Ms. Dutton, and if Cook County can consolidate their offices, and they're the largest county in the state, I think it's incumbent on us to actually look into that and see what we can do. We owe that to the taxpayers of this county.
Mr. Parkinson?
Yes, I wasn't going to speak on that. I have two things, if you'll indulge me.
I'd like to speak on the present topic, if we may. But
if you want to go ahead.
You want to move on?
I'll let you go first because okay. I have two topics.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, I support. I think Chrissy has a great idea. I'm actually surprised it's taken this long because I know that I also was aware that Cook County, as she said, the largest county in the state of Illinois, has consolidated the recorder of deeds office with the clerk's office. And I think we should study this issue in Madison County because it is, you know, we should try to eliminate every layer of government that we possibly can. And that doesn't mean that a lot of people are going to lose their jobs. I actually think probably very few would lose their jobs except for perhaps the elected official because through attrition, it's going to take, I know in Cook County, it takes a number of years to make that consolidation and through the election cycle and things like that. But I do think that is something that the workload appears to be the same in what we looked at in the Finance Committee over the last 10 years. And the office has definitely become more automated. And yet, employees were up fairly significantly in that office in just the last few years. And so I think it definitely works. It's something we should evaluate.
Mr. Parkinson?
Regarding the same subject, if I may?
Go ahead.
As far as I'm concerned, I stand with my colleagues here. I think this is a no-brainer. I mean, it's already been noted that the largest county in the state has moved in that direction. And I'd like to see us look for a referendum so that we can move forward and ask again.
Mr. Parkinson?
I'm definitely interested in exploring that as well. But what I wanted to bring up was I had a constituent call me. He had applied for the Madison County Director of Administrative Services. He had filled out an application. I know that he's more than qualified and to be considered for that position. I was curious as to what interviews were done and what process was done to select the person for that job that you've made an appointment for tonight with that, and why he didn't get any, at least the consideration of a return phone call or thanks for applying, try again to the next job, anything.
Yes, Mr. Michael?
I had a question.
No, as an appointment, I will just say that I get many resumes and I don't choose to interview all resumes that I receive.
Did you interview any of them?
I did not. We feel we have a good appointment, and I think that I've heard from – we've also been able to review this with a lot of county board members. So, Mr. Michael?
I was going to – well, are you finished, Mr. Parkinson?
Yeah, I guess.
Okay. I was just going to comment on the recorder proposition or whatever you want to call it, because I just know that one thing we really struggled with during the budget that I sit on the Finance Committee – And I didn't realize that many counties had consolidated, because in ways to save money, we saw that the recorder's budget, I think over the last 2 years, has basically exploded, I think over 30%, I looked at, in just 2 years. So 2015 to 2017, 30% increase. And if we're increasing that much and other counties are actually saving money, I think that's a little odd and something needs to be looked into.
Mr. Madison?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You know, this is a pretty good idea, I think. You guys recently have heard me say a couple of times, people in this room, Illinois has the highest property taxes in the nation, and we've got to be looking at every way that we can to try to be more efficient and streamlined. And while a lot of people may not be losing jobs over this, efficiency does save money, and obviously there will be probably some cuts in at least a minimum amount of jobs, which saves money. But I would like to see the other taxing bodies throughout Madison County begin to look at some of these same ideas to also try to cut back on property taxes, because the state doesn't get any of it. It all comes to local government. And the only people that can lower people's property taxes, the number one issue when campaigning, is high property taxes. These are the types of things that we need to look at. I think it's a wonderful idea. I back it.
Mr. Moore.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I was along the lines of Ms. Dutton's comment about consolidation. I just wanted to make a comment that we probably just should not limit ourselves to just a recorder's office, but let's take a look at everything and see if there's any other candidates for consolidation.
Mr. Holliday.
I'm not in agreement with that. We're here to provide services to the citizens of Madison County. And if you cut out that department, those people still going to be doing a job
it's
somewhere.
It's not cutting out the department.
Ms. Dunn, if you could please let Mr. Holliday speak.
Sure.
I mean, I can speak my opinion, I believe.
Sure.
Can I not? Okay. You know, we still have services to provide. And if you're going to take it from one department and move it to another department, you're still going to have that job to do. So what are you accomplishing other than getting rid of one or two jobs? Those people are still going to have to do the job of the recorder. So I don't understand this, how much you're going to save by going that route. But, you know, you look into it and see. But I would be against
Mr. McCray.
I was just going to say, if we could, I think this would probably come through the Finance and Government Operations Committee. And would it be, could Mr. Gibbons and Ms. Mendoza, could you get us the information by the next committee meeting with regard to just the logistics of how this is done and what the deadlines are? Because I believe it is a vote that's put to the people. The county board approves it. It's a feasibility study, and maybe it's something we don't want to do. But obviously Cook County has done it. They're the largest county in the state of Illinois. And if they can do it, I would think certainly every other county, and other ones are considering doing it, and as we speak. And so would that be that I think by the logistics would seem to be fairly simple to me. Would that be an issue to get it by the next Finance and Government Operations?
I'm sure the state's attorney's office can be present to discuss the legality of that, of the proposal.
Okay.
Mr. Chapman, and then
yes,
I'll be back.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I agree with Mr. McCray that it's only prudent to look into it, and the sooner we start, the better. And obviously, as our state's attorney tells us, we have to look into legalities of certain things. If I understand correctly, Mr. McCray, I asked someone who is in the know about this, well, how much money are they saving? And some of these things have only just gotten started, so they really can't tell you exactly how much money they're saving yet. But obviously, they did it in the anticipation that they would be saving money. So I agree with you wholeheartedly, sir.
Mr. Holliday?
Yeah, I mean, she has a load already. And now you want to put more on her and cut both budgets? I mean, that doesn't, to me, seem fair.
Ms. Dutton?
Mr. Holliday, I'd be happy to talk to you after the meeting about that. I've done a lot of research on this, and I could answer some of your questions and maybe ease your mind on that, or maybe not. Maybe we disagree, and that's fine, too. But we're just recommending we explore it, and it's really not eliminating that office. It's not hindering any services to people who need things from the recorder's office. The employees would probably all stay the same. It's just this is what a lot of counties are moving towards. A majority of Illinois counties are doing this, some big ones, some the same size as us, and they have found it to be a cost-saving measure. So I just think it's worth exploring for our taxpayers. We can put it on a referendum, a vote to the people, and if it gets shot down, it gets shot down.
Ms. Champoli.
I'd love us to explore the idea, and Chrissy, I'd love for you to head that up. You brought it up and made that a passion of yours. You have a lot of information as chair of finance. I'm glad for you to take the lead on that.
Yes, Mr. Parkinson.
I'm curious, is the main basis of that just eliminating a big salary like a department head and moving the employees under a different department to streamline it and to eliminate that big salary on the taxpayers?
That too, but also I think with something like the recorder's office where things are being streamlined, digitized, becoming more online, things like that, consolidating those two offices just makes sense. There are similar duties that are done on both, and the clerk can certainly oversee. You know, you're not moving those departments physically, the space or anything like that. Things will still operate as they do. It'll just be under one umbrella, really.
Any additional new business or discussion?
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Ms. Gorman.
I actually just had a question, and it was in regard to a notice I had received from District 7 Superintendent Linda Andre, and I'm just curious if there's any impact here. Said that at the meeting last night that the Board of Education approved a resolution to support the 1% county school facility sales tax for placement on the March 2018 ballot. So it was, I guess, a 1% increase targeted to go back to the facilities for the District 7, or is it Madison County? I'm just trying to figure out.
It's all of Madison County. It'll be all of the school districts in Madison County.
Okay, so each
they will all benefit. Yes.
Yes.
Yes, and it's my understanding that if school boards representing more than 50% of the students in Madison County vote to put that on the ballot, that it has been on the ballot twice and defeated twice. It's evidently. I did also read that District 7 the school board did vote to put that on the ballot. But we'll see whether school boards representing more than 50% of the students in Madison County do that. It's my understanding if that takes place, it will be on the March 20th ballot. Any additional discussion, Mr. Wesley?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, thank you. At our last personnel committee meeting on December the 18th, we went into executive session, and when we came out, we voted unanimously to request that you convene an executive committee meeting as soon as conveniently possible to discuss employee discipline.
Okay. Mr. Walters?
Yeah, I just wanted to compliment Ms. Dutton. I think what she brought to us is something we should have been talking about a long time ago. And I look forward to working with you and helping any way I can. And to everybody here, I wish you a very Merry Christmas and a happy and safe New Year.
Do I have a motion to adjourn? So
Mr. Chairman?
Second. Ms. Hawkins?
I just wanted to commend our sheriff and our local police departments.
We do have
enough words to say that the jobs that they do and the sacrifice that they make to keep us and our loved ones safe is very much appreciated. Thank you.
We have a motion to adjourn. Do we have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.